Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mini Crush, the Monday edition, where I sit here with my good friend Noel, and we fart around and talk about movies.
Yeah. That is exactly how I describe it to my friends.
We interact with you people via Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was another way.
There's got to be another way.
Maybe we'll figure that out.
Maybe Instagram?
Facebook sucks.
LinkedIn?
Facebook owns Instagram, Noel.
Ah, so this is a political thing for you, Chuck.
Yes.
Okay, I see.
I don't want to be on there.
Twitter. Do you not tweet? You don't tweet, do you?
I'm not on Twitter.
You're not a tweeter?
No.
I'm not either. In fact, I miss a lot because I don't tweet. Some of the other shows that I'm on, we have pretty active Twitters, and I'll always hear stuff from Ben or Matt about like, hey, did you see the thing on Twitter? I'm like, nope.
But are you missing out?
Not really.
Exactly.
I usually see it screenshotted somewhere else later.
Yes.
Maybe I'm just like a day late.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder sometimes if all the smartphones went away mm-hmm. overnight.
Got raptured.
Yeah, you know? Got raptured. Like, I feel like in a week, I would be like, all right.
Yeah.
This is
the new normal.
How I lived most of my life.
I know. There are some people that would lose their minds.
Yeah,
though.
I think a lot of people would literally go crazy. Mm. And when I say literally go crazy, I mean figuratively go crazy.
I was without a phone for about 3 days recently, and it was simultaneously liberating and a little made me a little uneasy.
Yeah.
But I leaned more into the liberating side of it, and it was actually pretty great.
Well, the funny thing is you hear safety like, oh, but you have your phone, like, you know, in case anything ever happened, like, which is true. But I lived 37 years without a smartphone.
It's true.
And we were all fine.
Yeah.
We were okay. You were okay, Noel.
I was okay.
Oh, God.
I'm still okay most of the time. How are you?
I'm good.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm being fake outrage.
Oh, I see. Okay. I was
like when I get fake mad at you.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Noel.
Is it all an illusion, Chuck? Is it all lies?
It's a bit.
Where's the truth?
God, I'm even holding up my sign that says it's a bit, and
okay.
You're just looking right past it.
I'm not. I'm just didn't know what I couldn't. I was squinting.
All right. Let me see here. You seen any good movies lately, by the way?
Yeah, what did I see?
Eh?
Oh, I watched Big Fish for the first time in years the other day.
Was that a punishment?
You didn't like it? You don't like Big Fish?
Nah.
It's a little schmaltzy.
I didn't love Big Fish.
It's a little schmaltzy. I thought my kid would like it, but actually kind of she got bored by it. And I realized that my memories of it were a little better than the movie itself. It's a little slow.
I think that's one of those movies that hasn't aged well.
It's a little hard on sleeve, kind of cheesy. It's not the best. Because I thought of it as the last good Tim Burton movie.
Uh-huh.
And I realize you can sort of see his decline even in that movie.
I'm looking up Tim Burton right now, Noel, because I know I've given that guy shit for...
Oh, it is deserved.
Not being that great anymore. But I'm looking up because I would like to honestly see what I would vote as the last good... Are we saying good or great?
Great.
What's the qualification?
That's the thing, though. Was he ever really great...
Yes.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
What was great? What was the great Tim Burton movie? Batman?
Pee-wee's Big Adventure,
sure.
I think.
Okay.
Beetlejuice, for sure.
That's true. That's
Edward
true. Okay.
Scissorhands,
yes,
I love.
Yes, yes, yes. I forgot
Ed
about Edward.
Wood, I love.
I forgot about – okay. See, he's already sullied his IMDb so much that I've literally forgotten about those great movies because all I think about is, like, you know, The Bad Planet of the Apes and
right.
You know, all of the CGI monstrosities.
Dark Shadows, that movie didn't even make a dent.
No, it didn't even make a ping
the
on
world.
The radar. Like, you know, all those horrible-looking Alice in Wonderland movies that he's just leaning so hard on the CGI stuff now that it's like that's what we loved about Tim Burton was that it was all practical effects and
right.
claymation and,
real
like,
stuff.
You know, real weird set design and stuff, you know?
You know what, Noel? I'm looking at his list, I'm going to say something pretty controversial right now. For me, this is just my dumb opinion, the last truly great movie he made that I loved was Ed Wood.
Ed Wood's fantastic.
In 1994.
But that's the thing.
Mars Attacks, Sleepy Hollow, meh.
Yeah, Sleepy Hollow was
Planet of the Apes, meh.
No.
Big Fish, meh. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, meh.
Whoa.
I did not see Corpse Bride,
Corpse
fair
Bride's
enough.
Corpse Bride's cool.
That might have been good.
You know, it's a lot like... Nightmare Before Christmas, but it's not as good. Doesn't have the spark, you know. Doesn't have the same
yeah.
kind of magic.
Sweeney Todd, Alice in Wonderland, Dark Shadows, Big Eyes.
I thought Big Eyes was cool. You didn't see Big Eyes?
I saw it. I didn't like
you
it.
You just didn't like it. You said you didn't like Christoph Waltz. You thought he was just smarmy and awful.
Well, and I said it before. He plays a man from Nebraska.
Yeah, that's right. And he still sounds the same. As he still sounds like Werner Herzog.
So weird. Dumbo's coming out. Beetlejuice 2. I mean, of course, I'll. He has a chance for redemption.
I mean, that's such a big swing for that to be.
There's no way it can be as good.
There's no way it can be as good, but he also has to kind of, you know, honor the original material. He can't do an Alice in Wonderlandized version of Beetlejuice. People will revolt in the streets.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'll be leading that charge. I have my axe and my torch, my baseball bat, and we will go and we will kill Tim Burton dead.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm just kidding, everyone.
No.
By the way.
We would never.
I could probably get arrested for just saying that.
That's probably true, Chuck.
All right, we're going to move on to social studies.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
And I believe I went with another Oscar-related question, and that was, who or what was robbed the most this year with an Oscar snub? Make your case in one sentence. There are, of course, a bunch of smart alecks on here.
Yeah.
They're listing truly bad movies.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay.
There's another awards ceremony for those. The Razzies. We should do something about the Razzies sometime.
Oh, we should. Let's do a little Razzies thing this year.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Do a Razzies roundup.
Totally agree. Razzies roundup. God, Noel, you're so good.
These things just name themselves.
All right. Julia Lurch says she feels like Toni Collette for Hereditary. Her performance after finding, well, that's a spoiler, so I won't even read that. But she says, never mind the dinner table scene.
It's bonkers. But the thing is, movies like that always get snubbed.
I know. And she was so tight in that movie. God, she was good.
I think we talked about this. I'm sure we did. The director, who this is like his first big movie, decided to turn what he had written as a much more of a family drama into a horror because he knew it'd be easier to like sell for a first movie. But yet the performances, that's what makes it such an interesting hybrid, right? Because the performances are legitimately like tense family drama kind of stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
So good.
Dawn Barnhart says, Elsie Fisher should have been nominated for Best Actress for Eighth Grade. She made me relive the awkwardness of junior high and broke my heart into pieces. Yeah, I agree. She was great.
I haven't seen that one. I want to because I've got a kid that's not that old, but she's very much into that whole YouTube culture.
She's not far off, Noel.
She's not far off.
Yeah, a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should totally see it. You would love it. Christine Fordham says, won't you be my neighbor? For Best Documentary, I mean, truly one of the great Oscar snubs.
Yeah.
A weird one.
And I didn't realize that NPR produced that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like an NPR film or something like that. Or I don't know exactly how they branded it, but they were talking about it on NPR and some of the hosts were saying they thought it was a snub largely for selfish reasons because they wanted to be able to go to the Oscars.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm bummed because, you know, Scotty did some of the camera work and some of the interviews on that. And not only did I think it was going to get nominated, I was like, man, Scotty will have worked on a Best Documentary winner because I was just convinced that was going to win.
It's so good. What did get nominated? I don't think I – I mean, Jesus.
I don't know. Look it up.
I've got it. There's just a big list here. Best Documentary. I haven't heard of any of these.
What are they?
Minding the Gap, which I've heard is great, but I don't know what it's about. I
haven't seen
it. By Bing Liu of Fathers and Sons. Oh, RBG was good. But honestly
– didn't see it yet.
I thought that Mr. Rogers was way better than RBG.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think maybe RBG has more current weight, I guess, in terms of like, you know.
I'm just – the whole – none of it makes sense because – of course, it's great, but like Mr. Rogers and all the nostalgia and the message in today's climate, like it was all there. It's just so
you know, you're
odd.
Right, especially as it got into the way he handled really difficult subjects for kids.
Yeah, and testifying in front of Congress.
You're right. You know, there's so absolutely no, that's a very strange snub. Good call.
Yeah, I don't get it. Debbie Frangidakis, she also said, won't you be my neighbor? Kelly Conklin says, Bradley Cooper for director. And First Man for Best Picture. Fred Nurk, the Nurkster, says, sorry to bother you. I thought it was a fantastic movie and deserved a nomination.
For what?
Probably Best Picture.
No, I don't think it's Best Picture material.
No. But see, that's where we were talking about Best First-Time Filmmaker.
Yep.
Or Breakout Star for The Girl in Eighth Grade.
Yep.
Like, that's where those might be some good categories.
I think it could have, like, maybe even something for, like, Best It had just – there should be like a category for weirdo movies, too.
Yeah, like what would you call that? Bet, like most innovative or like Noel's favorite?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Scott Sodergren, I totally agree, Mr. Sodergren. You say Ethan Hawke. His performance was amazing, and he really did deserve a nomination for that role. Totally agree, man. So good in that movie. Danielle Ferlito says, First Man, best movie I've seen in like 15 years. I still haven't seen that.
This is the – was it Buzz Aldrin? No, it's Neil Armstrong, right? Yeah. Is he Neil Armstrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Ryan. First Man, Noel.
Sorry, dude.
Armstrong was the first.
But Buzz was right Buzz behind Aldrin. Him. Sorry.
You need to get up on your NASA.
I really do. I really do.
Nick Cowley.
I didn't go to space camp, okay? All of my other colleagues went to space camp except me. So
that's true. Nick Kelly says, My boy Gosling, First Man, is quiet intensity at its best. I love Gosling.
He's really good at that quiet intensity, too. That's kind of his thing.
Yeah, it is. Come to think of it.
Blade Runner, quiet intensity.
Quiet intensity.
Drive, quiet intensity.
Quiet intensity. Yeah. He should be. He's a singer, too. He should start a band called...
Quiet intensity in 10 cities.
Joshua Hall says, Lakeith Stanfield for best actor. The guy elevates Sorry to Bother You to another level.
It's true. He's a great – he's got this like energy that's so – like it's comedy, but it's also like very heartfelt and like you're there with him. You know, I don't know. It's great.
Yeah. Mary O'Donnell says, Paddington 2. Wes Anderson wishes he could make a film with such whimsy and heart.
So good.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Paddington 2.
It's crazy.
I haven't seen Paddington 1. Will I be able to follow it?
Yes. Doesn't matter. They're very self-contained. No, it's got a lot of these great British comics in it, like the dudes from like the Mighty Boosh and like IT Crowd and a lot of these. Like, really. So I think the guy that directed it directed the show The League of Gentlemen, which is a really, really great, weird,
Would Ruby like it? Is it?
Oh, God, yes.
For a 3.5-year-old?
Yeah. That's the beauty of it, is it's got something for everybody. It's got like adventure, it's got this whimsy, like they're saying, it's got a great story, and it's got real, real heart, and like it's really a beautiful movie.
All right. It's on the list. Let me see here. Amanda Blaney Laurier says, Toni Collette for Hereditary. Another nod for her. TJ Danny says, if Beale Street could talk for best picture. I've heard that criticism. Sierra Sherry says, Emily Blunt for A Quiet Place. She gave me all the feels. All right, fair enough. DC Hoover says, Bradley Cooper for best director. All right. I've heard mixed reviews on that one. On Star is Born.
Yeah, it looks like a big, giant movie, though. Hollywood loves a big self-referential, you know. Mm-hmm. It's also like a remake of a classic, so Hollywood seems
remake
to really...
of a classic, which is a remake of a
That's
classic.
That's right. Hollywood loves that stuff.
It's the third or fourth one, isn't it?
I think it's the third, yeah.
Third?
Yeah.
AJ Middlestead says, Eighth Grade and Hereditary in A Quiet Place. Peter Farrelly, Ian Lyon says, Peter Farrelly for his near-perfect direction of The Beautiful Green Book. Another vote for Sorry to Bother You from Mike Doyle. For screenplay, yeah. That sometimes that's a good way to acknowledge a movie like that.
Yeah,
with the writing.
Yeah, sort of like didn't Adaptation win best screenplay?
I believe it did.
Because that's a good one. That's like a really kind of taking the form of screenplay like to another place. That's
totally agree.
Definitely what any kind of like meta-ness in writing is always a good thing.
Bruce Conwell, another vote for Toni Collette. I'm glad she's getting props at least from the people for that great performance. Even though it's a disturbing horror film, it still counts as a movie, everyone.
It sure does.
You know, it's so weird. Genre pictures just – maybe best genre picture would be a good category.
Yeah.
So it's like, what would that be? What counts as genre? Horror, sci-fi?
I guess so. That would take forever, though. They'd have to have one for every genre.
Well, no, you could just lump them all together.
Oh, gotcha. That's a good point. I see.
All right. We're going to move on, everyone. Those are some good comments. And boy, I'm excited about this next bit. Haiku Theater. I don't know why, Noel, that we've never done this. Stuff You Should Know had a haiku phase about 8 or 9 years ago. And we got so many haikus, we got sick of them and hated haikus.
Yeah, and now you're ready to dive
ready
back
to
in.
Go back. And people really got into this. And I was literally reading them out loud to Emily live as they were coming in last night and laughing my ass off. And I was like, I got to stop doing this because all I'll do is sit around and read haikus all night and it'll ruin tomorrow. So I'm going to leave these up, and I'm going to keep reading these every other week or so because these are so much fun. The deal is the movie title is the title of the haiku. And then, you know, the form. Do you know the form, the haiku form?
575, right?
575. Look at you. 17 syllables. Vanessa Lopez, let's start it out with Sharknado. Sharknado, raining from the sky, as Chuck Stradamus foretold, the Sharknado looms. Because, you know, I predicted that movie. Did you know that?
Did
you ever hear that?
Stuff you should know thing, right?
Yeah. I said something about a movie with sharks and tornadoes, and like a year and a half, 2 years later, that movie came out.
Man, I mean, the fact of the matter is
that— It does make you wonder. I don't think I created the seed of that idea, but you really never know.
That is absolutely on the table that could have been the case.
Some dumb bum could have heard that and been like, hey, I can totally make that happen.
Yeah. And then they just bided their time.
Yeah. The Sixth Sense. This is from Megan Johnson Frucci. And she got 45 up likes, so this better be good. And by the way, this has a spoiler. If you have not seen Sixth Sense, tune out for the next 8 seconds. The Sixth Sense. Bruce Willis is dead. Yes, he's been dead the whole time. Dead, I tell you, dead.
That's fantastic.
Oh, that's a good one. Nice job, Megan. Genevieve Valen. I know I've talked about your name before. So close to the perfect name. She's one syllable away. All right, Jenna. Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I know you are, but what am I without my bike, loner and rebel? Not bad. Our old friend Aaron Cooper has one for Airplane. Pilots ate the fish. Can you fly and land this plane? Don't call me Shirley.
I was hoping that was going to be snuck in there.
Of course. Julie Siggins Perez for Psycho. Marion steals cash. Changes mind at creepy motel. Too late. Now she's dead. Not bad. Cubes, Don Kuby, our old pal in Connecticut, says, Titanic. Bad contrived romance. Mammoth iceberg sinks the ship. Rose, selfish and cold.
What?
She wasn't selfish and cold? All right, Cubes,
well,
I take issue.
People give her shit because she didn't make a space for him on the floating door.
That was another fun Titanic one in here. Oh, here it is right here. Melinda Bacaleo says, Titanic, Rose is rich but sad. Jack is poor but loving life. There's room for two, Rose. So she addresses that right there.
And that was sort of the voice of the audience screaming at Rose.
I think so.
Like, hey.
And Melinda followed that up with, OMG, this is so much fun. I totally agree. I'm just going to read all these over the next few weeks.
Cool.
Eric Keith for Major League. The ex-con pitches. Vampire steals the bases. Indians beat Yanks. All right. A little more obscure maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Major League though.
Major League. That was the one with Charlie Sheen, right?
Charlie Sheen. Sean McFarlane for Pulp Fiction. What's in the briefcase? I shot Marvin in the face. Bad motherfucker.
There you go.
Let me see.
That's the joy of the haiku form, is you start to realize like the economy of language, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Here we go. Kristen Glenn Kister for Jurassic Park. Mosquito and sap. All girl dinos make babies. Life finds a way.
got its own syllable.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Very creative, Kristen. Yeah. Well done. And she said, actually, full props here. Kristen says, my son's girlfriend gets credit for the So this was a family affair. I love that. UHF, have you seen that, Noel?
With Weird Al?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Jason Hancock has one for that. Very cute Cocker Spaniel, by the way, Jason. UHF, it really is great. You people think I'm joking. Spin the wheel of fish. I guess that was a thing from that movie, huh?
Yeah, that was sort of like drink from the fire hose. Was it maybe one of those?
I don't know.
Wasn't that Kramer from
yeah,
Seinfeld was in it?
I think he was.
He was sort of a screwball game show host or something like that.
No, I don't know.
I would think that spin the wheel of fish might have been something that he did.
Yeah. Karen Knox, Karen's on here a lot. Thanks for your participation, Karen. For the movie Seven, Godless People Die, Brad Pitt, the Kevin Spacey, Gwyneth's in the box.
That's a good spoiler.
Yes, that's only four syllables at the end.
Oh, no.
Gwyneth is in the box,
there
I would
we go.
Say.
Let's
there
do
we
it.
Go. We'll just make a slight amendment there. That's probably what she meant. Patrick Gorman for E.T., Lost and Left Alone, but Elliot saves the day. Phone home, friend. Phone home. You should write one over there while I'm doing this.
Oh, okay.
Can you do it?
Nah, wow. That's okay.
All right. I'm going to read two more, and you need to have one finished by the time I finish that. All right? Caleb Wyant, our old buddy, says, Isle of Dogs. Chuck hasn't seen it, so he will not get this joke. All right. Well, that's only six syllables. So, Caleb, you're fired. Oh, wait. So he will not get this joke. Caleb, I'm sorry. I'm fired. Let me just start that over, Caleb. I'm so sorry. I ruined your time in the sun. Caleb Wyant for Isle of Dogs. Chuck hasn't seen it, so he will not get this joke. It features haiku. All right. Fair enough. And then one more, and then we're going to go with Knowles. Pressure's on.
Dude.
From Mike Sams. He did the Never-Ending Story. This theme was too deep. Why did Artax have to die? Boob rays therapy. Wow.
Oh, yeah. That's really good, actually.
You know, I've never seen that movie.
Well, because the boob rays, well, that's a thing that he literally clocked all the things that most stuck out to me with that movie. Is the boob rays were these like sphinxes, and they had these big breasts with like kind of erect nipples and shot. The lasers didn't come out of the boobs. They came out of the eyes.
Oh, it's like, oh, okay.
But you were looking at the
like,
boobs.
Is it like the Fembots?
Yeah, that's probably where they got the idea. And then Artax was the horse that sank into the swamps of sadness. And then therapy is what you had to get after seeing that movie because it wrecked you as a child. Yeah.
All right, Noel, do you have it?
No, I don't have it.
I'm going to read two more then.
Oh, my God.
We're going to make you do this.
Wow.
All right, Megan Johnson Frucci says, fried green tomatoes. Iggy Bee Charmer will do anything for Ruth. Secrets in the sauce. Good movie. Kristen Glenn Kister, once again. She has two for Tombstone, Noel, so you get extra time. Wyatt Earp is done. Doc is your huckleberry. He brings hell with him. And then this one also for Tombstone. No bustle, how lewd. You're a daisy if you do. Wyatt, you're an oak. Good stuff, Kristen. I love that. I'm going to read one more just to give you more time, Noel, because this is Harry Potter, which is probably what you're writing over there, from our old friend Carolyn Gaston. Harry Potter. Harry's a wizard. Fights he who must not be named, makes a few friends, too. Pretty good stuff. All right, Noel. What do you got?
Well, I've got one line, Chuck.
Okay, I'll give you more time. Boy, you're really milking this. Jimmy Mallory does Wayne's World. Public access show. It's party time. Excellent. Wayne's World, Mom's Basement. Zoe Sisson says this for Bird Box. Don't look at that thing. Look at it and then you die. This movie lacks plot. I love that. That was a haiku review. That could be a whole segment all by itself.
Well, I mean, it rhymes. It's a perfect name for a segment. Haiku review.
Haiku review. Robert Eldridge says for Stand By Me. A barf-a-rama. Biggest one in four counties. We found a body. I love this. This is so much fun.
Wait a minute. This would be fun, too. We kind of missed the boat on this. We should have done it where you had to guess what the movie was.
Oh, that is not bad.
Because that was Stand By Me.
So maybe we'll do an dish called Mystery Haiku Theater.
There you go.
We'll just do different versions of this.
I like it.
Have you got your haiku?
No, Noel? Chuck, I don't know how to write a haiku, okay? God.
Are you really bailing on this?
I'm not. I did not sign up for this. That's not bailing if I did not agree to this to begin with. You know what my first line is why Harry Potter?
Oh, I'm sorry for that coughing fit, everyone. All right. I guess we'll just end then.
No. I want to continue this. I mean, I hope you're intrigued.
Well, I am, but Do you want to do this now?
No.
Or do you want to come back next week?
Chuck, that sounded very like
to take you.
Do you really want to do this now, Chuck? Do you really want to do this?
All right, Noel. I'm literally going to read the next three.
Okay.
And if you don't have a haiku, then you're fired.
Okay.
Yvan Baudet says, for Goodwill Hunting, genius janitor has no direction in life. Will, it's not your fault. Good one. Rich Del Grande, great name, for Demon Knight. Ooh, I don't even know what that is. Immortality, ain't all it's cracked up to be. Zane is persistent. And then we're going to finish with another one from Melinda Bacalo. She does Gone with the Wind. Scarlett loves Ashley, but Ashley loves Melanie. Rhett gets the last laugh. No? Do we have our haiku? Oh, well, here we go, everyone.
Why, Harry Potter, you magic wizard person, why do you haunt me?
I can't believe that took 10 minutes.
Hey, look, it didn't take 10 minutes. It took 10 seconds. I just had to like decide what direction I was going to go.
I saw you over there counting on your fingers.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Oh, boy. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun, Chuck. Thanks for making me do that. Thanks for pulling that out of me.
All right, everyone. We're going to finish up with another comment card, Oscar edition, where you ask your Oscar-related questions to Noel and myself. We're going to keep that haiku theater going. I like the mystery idea. That's a good idea, Noel. We have to guess the movie. That's so perfect.
Because most of them don't have the movie name and they're just like describing a scene or like some character thing. And a lot of them are like a little tricky, a little shrouded.
I like that. Because then people would try and stump us. Then it becomes a game of stump the hosts.
That's true.
All right. We're going to go with Zach Pointer. He has this Oscar question. Is there money that comes with the award? No, Zach. They do not pay them. For winning an Oscar.
No.
I get it.
There's no purse.
Nah, sometimes awards have a little thing attached. But
sure.
Like a grant.
Yeah, but these people don't need grants.
No, they don't need grants.
The money comes from the Oscar buzz. That's where you definitely win money. when you win an Oscar, you definitely win money. They just don't give it to you directly.
Right. It is indirect monies in your pocket. Charles Ogan says, most notorious Oscar telecast moment. For me, when Snow White sang Proud Mary with Rob Lowe, that was a pretty legendary weird bit. Yeah, you don't remember that?
No, when was this? Like in the 80s or something?
Ew, no, it wasn't even that long ago. I'm not really sure. Let me look here. Snow White.
Snow White, like the animated character?
Oh, that's Snow White, not the other Snow White.
The porn star?
Oh, God, Noel, why do you have to sell
it? I'm kidding. I don't know if there's a porn star named Snow White.
When was this? 2013, maybe?
It was just embarrassing. It just was a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, look at this photo, Noel. It's Rob Lowe singing with Snow White.
Oh, okay.
In character.
Yeah.
You know, lady dressed as Snow White.
Okay, I was picturing it being like Who Framed Roger Rabbit style with like the real animated Snow White.
Yeah, this 1989? Is that when it was?
Sure seems like a 80s-ish kind of idea.
Jeez, why did I think that was more recently?
It's because you're old, Chuck.
Yeah. Well, I graduated high school in 1989.
That's what I'm saying. Good. Oh, Lord. Really? Wow.
Yeah, class of 89, baby.
That's awesome.
What's your class?
2002.
Ugh. Sounds like future child.
I know. Hey, how do you think I feel when I meet people that were born in the 90s?
Right. It's funny because if you look up Rob Lowe, Snow White, one of the lead articles from Hollywood Reporter is Oscars: Rob Lowe's Snow White, the untold story of Oscar's nightmare opening. Can't wait to read that later.
Was he the host that year or was Snow White hosting?
It wasn't Snow White.
I don't know, man. She's famous.
That would be great. Well, let's see who wins Best Actor. La 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 la.
She's such a good whistler.
She is a good whistler. I'm a decent whistler.
I am too.
I can't do it right now, though.
No, that's fine. That's all right. It'd be all just blow into the mic. It'd be like...
Yeah, it wouldn't sound good. I've been eating saltines, so...
Oh, yeah,
that would just
problem.
Be a big mess.
Well, obviously, the Warren Beatty debacle...
Well, sure.
That's the big... That's the only really big one I could ever
well,
even
that,
think of.
Well, that and then, you know, the whole story about Jack Palance errantly giving the award to Marissa Tomei for My Cousin Vinny.
No, I don't remember that.
That's sort of the legend has it is that she really did not win that award. He said the wrong name.
They just rolled with it?
And they just rolled with it. I think it has been proven that that is not the case.
Okay.
But I'm going to dig into that. Maybe I'll recount that story in a future
That'd
episode.
That'd be a good one for Hollywood history.
It would absolutely, Noel. Thank you. It makes me think I've actually done it. That would be sad if I forgot that. I'm old, everyone. My memory's fading. Let me see here. Kevin Herbon says, is there a chance the host won't make this joke? So this year we saw a villain with a funky skin tone try to kill the world with his children. And we saw Thanos. That's pretty good. Kevin, you should they should have a hotline where you could submit Oscar jokes because that's a perfect Oscar joke. It sounds like Bruce Valanche wrote it with his own stubby fingers.
Who is Bruce Valanche?
He's one of the guys that writes for the Oscars every year.
Oh, he writes the punchy little bits.
Yeah, he's sort of a legendary writer in Hollywood and for writing stuff like that. And he was on Hollywood Squares. And
got it.
You'd probably recognize him if you looked him up. He's great. He's a sheer delight. So I'm not knocking him. I love that guy. Dallas English says, how do you think the Oscars will change in the next 50 years? Doesn't seem like they're on a sustained path. I don't know. I mean, does he think they're going to go away? It's not sustainable to him.
No.
Yeah. The Oscars is it's a living and breathing thing. It's changed a lot over the years.
Of course it's sustainable. I mean, there's so much money in Hollywood, and it's literally
they're
Hollywood.
Not stop their
it's,
own.
It's Hollywood's chance to pat themselves on the back for doing such a good job.
Not do that. They would never miss that opportunity to, I was about to say something dirty, but I stopped myself.
Pat themselves on the back.
There you go. Pat themselves over and over.
On the back.
On the back.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Michael Griffith says, what are the real-world effects of being nominated or winning? You hear about the Oscar bump in your career. It's supposed to increase your profile and get better roles.
Yeah.
But it is very famously not done that sometimes.
It can be fickle because then you get typecast. You get associated with that role or something maybe.
Like I remember Elizabeth Shue for
Leaving Las Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas, they thought that was like, oh, well, from here on out. But it didn't quite go that way. And I think Marissa Tomei as well.
It almost seems like you have to already be established and maybe. Then it gives you the bump maybe. I don't know. Or you have to at least be already bankable kind of and it maybe raises your profile.
Yeah.
But it's – I don't know. That's an interesting phenomenon to dissect. It'd be interesting to like look at the numbers and look at like how it's affected people over the years or whatever.
Yeah, like what you would do is you would go back and look let's say the next three movies after your Best Actor or Actress award. Like what were those? But sometimes I'm not saying it's their fault, but sometimes people have made very poor decisions mm-hmm. for their next movie after their Oscar
that's
win.
That's right. That's right.
That they thought like was going to be the right thing. And it turned out not to be.
Absolutely. It just goes to show – I mean like there's a lot of savvy that has to go into like picking roles and you know you have to have good people I guess that give you good advice and you have to ultimately have good intuition. Otherwise you can tank your career pretty quick if you accidentally sign on to something that seems great on paper and then it just doesn't
work
out.
Then you know taking the bad advice of an agent or manager too, that factors in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let me see here. Brandon Surigal says, what's your favorite hot sandwich? I'm going to go with it's a really close one between a Philly cheesesteak and a French dip.
Interesting.
What about you?
Those are very good sandwiches. I like a pastrami.
Hot pastrami?
Yeah. Or like what are they called?
On rye?
Hot pastrami on rye. I really think the best sandwich that there is, though, is a really good banh mi.
Oh, sure.
Because you got that crunchy bread. Crunchy on the outside, soft on the inside.
Crunchy as all get out.
A little bit of spice, a little bit of sweet. It. It's a good sandwich.
Yeah. No Monte Cristo, no?
I do like a Monte. I'm more of a croque monsieur kind of guy.
Oh, I love a croque monsieur.
With the egg on the top.
Yeah. Is that, which is the monsieur? Or no,
oh,
which
the, is madame the madame is the one on top, I think.
That's with the egg and the cheese and the ham.
That's right. Which is a lot like a Monte Cristo. So I need to look into my sandwich history.
Now, I think a Monte Cristo has jelly in it.
Okay.
And I think it is
powdered sugar.
And powdered sugar, isn't it like French toasted?
Yes, it's an egg dip. But so are the croque monsieur and the croque madame.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. We should totally start a sandwich podcast.
I think that's a great. Yeah, no, you're right though. Monte Cristo is a fried ham and cheese sandwich, and it's a variation of the croque monsieur.
Ah, I know that when I worked at my restaurant in New Jersey, that the elderly set loved the Monte Cristo, and I always associate it with being like, you know. Like an old person sandwich, because they ate those things up, man. And I never saw kids ordering them.
The croque madame has the egg on top, so it's almost like an egg in the hole kind of situation.
Oh, a toad in the hole?
Mm-hmm. Toad in the hole,
Noel, next time you go to L.A., go to Barney's Beanery and get the toad in the hole.
Okay. No, I've never been there.
It's wonderful, and it's a legendary place, too. It's been around. It totally has that vibe.
Cool.
And you never know who you're going to see in there. It's like an old-school diner, and that is where Janis Joplin went. And drank the night she died.
Ooh. Wonder what she ordered.
Most likely Southern Comfort would be my guess. That was her jam.
Southern Comfort is awful.
I love Southern Comfort.
You like it? It's so sweet, though.
Yeah, it's like a cherry liquor.
Interesting. I feel like drinking a lot of that would make you really sick.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal is I don't sit around and drink Southern Comfort.
No.
But that has long been my camping,
aperitif?
Yeah, like, you know, we'll all be hanging around and, you know, you pass a bottle around of Southern Comfort.
Aww.
And you take a slug of it every hour or so.
I would drink Southern Comfort on a camping trip with you, Chuck.
Yeah, because it has a lower alcohol content. It's not like a 80 proof or whatever, a 90 proof.
That was me dropping a hint. I want you to invite me
camping. I know you're going to fucking go camping with me, Noel.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right, God.
God.
Jeez. Can I tell you something funny really quick?
Yes.
My girlfriend just texted me and she works for the state and dealing with, like, placing homeless people in affordable housing.
Oh, wow.
It's really amazing. And she busts her ass and she's a total badass. And she just sent me this litany of like really difficult things that she's been dealing with today. And I said, I have a baby job. You're dealing with all these real world problems that affect people. And I wrote a Harry Potter haiku. And I found it difficult.
Yeah. I had to write myself with that a long time ago, Noel, for being a goofus who just runs his mouth for a living. But I think it's... we've gotten enough good feedback over the years that there's value to it.
Oh, no, there absolutely is. And I'm totally joking. But at the same time, it's just funny because – like
when you see real work being done.
No, you know, it is real work. And we do things other than run our mouths, by the way, Chuck.
Oh, I know.
But
– I'm just being hard on us.
It's true.
All right. And the final question of the day that we're going to go with is from Felix Lennon. It says, what is your favorite Spike Lee character ever? That's really, really tough because so many great Spike Lee characters come to mind. My first instinct is to go with Mookie from Do the Right Thing or Danny Aiello's character in Do the Right Thing. And then my brain goes to Noah Darling from She's Gotta Have It or Mars Blackman from She's Gotta Have It, which has been fully enriched by the TV version. Or Jungle Fever. Oh, or He Got Game, man. Denzel and He Got Game, one of my favorite movies. Or maybe Bleak Gillum in Mo' Better Blues. God, I'm so bad at this. Oh, God, or Alfred Woodard in Crooklyn.
You're just a Spike Lee fan.
I am, man. That would be really hard to pick. And I'm looking over his list of his films, and I think I've seen almost all of them. I never saw Red Hook Summer. I need to see that one. That was out a few years ago. It was like 5 or 6 years ago. I don't know why I didn't see that.
For whatever reason, no real reason at all, I have not seen any of those older Spike Lee movies.
When you say any, have you seen Do the Right Thing?
No.
Oh, God. Have you seen Malcolm X?
No.
Have you seen She's Gotta Have It?
No.
Have you seen School Days?
No.
Have you seen Jungle Fever?
No.
Have you seen Crooklyn?
No.
Have you seen Mo' Better Blues?
No.
Oh no!
I'm being honest, man.
I'm angry
I'm,
right
no,
now.
I know.
I'm just like I feel
I
like
know.
The Hulk.
And I think I really liked Bamboozled when I was younger. Like, I thought that was a really interesting, weird, great movie. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably looked at as one of his, like, lesser movies. But that came out when I was, you know.
I think it was 2000.
Yeah. And I have not seen any of those movies. And there's no reason for it. I need to correct that.
Yeah. I feel like you should almost do like a Spike Lee week and see like five movies in a row.
Yeah. My best friend Frank recently saw Do the Right Thing for the first time, and he just couldn't stop talking about it.
Said, I mean, that's the one you should start
with.
It
holds
say.
Up, you know, incredibly well.
Or you could just go in order, maybe, and just go She's Got a Habit, School Days, Do the Right Thing, Jungle Fever, and Mo Better Blues. That's a good, like, five spot to get you going. One of my heroes, everyone, the great, great Spike Lee.
Fingers crossed. Do you think he deserves the win for Black Klansman?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? But you don't think that was like one of his best movies though, right? That was what we're talking about. It's sort of like, why didn't he get one for any of these ones that you seem to hold up so high? And then there's this one now he's finally getting nominated for. Does it compare to his other work, in your opinion?
It's a top 10 Spike Lee movie.
Got it.
And I'm okay with the body of work, Oscar. I'll just go ahead and say it. That's fine with me. I don't care. I think that's great. All right. That's it, everyone. I think we're done, Noel. You feel good?
I feel great, man.
You ready to get out of here?
Yeah, I'm ready to get out of here and start my Spike Lee marathon.
All right, let's do it.
See you next time.